Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Three horrific school shootings in less than a week, but where's the outrage? I'm Diana Nyad, sitting in for Warren Olney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. Today on the show, from September 27th to October 2nd, from Bailey, Colorado to Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, three separate school incidents left several students and one principal dead. Yet there's been little discussion on the role of guns in the wake of these tragedies. Has gun control basically been removed from the political agenda on both sides of the political fence? First, here's the news. I'm Diana Nyad, sitting in for Warren Olney tonight, back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Our topic tonight, gun control, or lack of gun control in the U.S. In the wake of the three deadly shootings across American school grounds, Democrats are not voicing a push for tighter gun control laws, and that's in the run-up to the November elections. Have we come to believe that gun control is not the answer to stopping violence, especially in our schools? Should we be looking to other countries such as Australia and Canada, where there are both tight gun laws and low gun crime? We're joining us first, aptly perhaps, is an Australian, Michael Gwenda, who is the Washington correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald. Mr. Gwenda, good day. Good on you, I should say.
Hi, Diana. You can call me Michael, eh?
You got it. You had a very provocative, interesting editorial in your paper this week calling out American priorities as wrong. You know, sum up for us, you know, your outrage in that article.
Well, I guess I was struck by the fact that in a week where you had the Mark Foley scandal and so much coverage of the fact that what was truly awful about this scandal was that it exposed children to particular sorts of threats, and I think it probably did. And the exploitation of children is a big issue, and keeping children safe is a big issue. So there was lots of talk about that, and then of course there was the terrible shootings in Pennsylvania in Amish country, and of course, there was wall-to-wall coverage of that as well, and there was lots of talk about what had motivated this the killer, what had motivated, why had he done this, what in his background was responsible. Psychologists were talked to and brought in to discuss it, but there was absolutely no discussion at all of what I would have thought is a key issue, and that in Australia certainly would have been a key issue, and that is, what's the role of guns in these sorts of crimes? It was the third shooting gun crime in a U.S. school in a week, and yet there was absolutely no talk about guns and gun laws and what the role in these sorts of terrible crimes is, the fact that it's so easy to get a gun in America.
Well, it is easy to get a gun, and you know, I said in the beginning, just introducing you, that the gun laws are very tight in Australia, and the gun crime is very low there. Can you give us a few comparative statistics from that country to ours?
Well, I can tell you that if you take a city like Melbourne, where I come from, which is a city of around 3 million people in Australia.
Yeah.
We have in Melbourne a murder rate of about, we have a total number of murders, of killings, homicides a year, of about 230. Of that, about 15 to 20 are gun-related. Now, if you compare the statistics, say, with Washington, D.C., which I think is a district of around 680,000 people, I've forgotten, there's double that number of murders, I think, or there's certainly more than 230, and most of them are gun-related. You just have to read the local paper here. You have to read the Washington Post every day. And every day there are homicides that involve the use of guns, and often the use of guns by minors, by children who are 14 and 15. Now, you would never get that in Australia. Can I just tell you something about Australia's gun laws?
Yeah, please do.
We had a terrible a mass murder in Australia, in Tasmania, which is the island down the bottom of Australia.
Tassie.
Tassie, that's right. In 1996, 36 people were killed by a gunman who was armed with semi-automatic weapons. Immediately after that, shooting, a conservative government, the Prime Minister John Howard, said that he was going to reform gun laws in Australia. He was going to ban all semi-automatic weapons. He was going to ban all ownership of handguns except in gun clubs where they had to be locked up and kept. There would be the right of farmers to have a single shot rifles to shoot vermin on their farms.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, no one would be able to carry a handgun, hidden or not. No one could own a semi-automatic weapon, and certainly you couldn't own AK-47s or whatever. Now, there was a huge outcry from gun lobby in Australia about this, and the gun lobby and gun owners in general are conservative voters. John Howard went to rallies where he discussed, where he talked about this legislation, wearing a bulletproof vest, because there were some fears that that there were people out there so angry about this legislation that he might be in danger. There was a gun amnesty. People were given 6 months to bring in all their semi-automatic weapons, all the weapons that were banned. In the end, the legislation went through. There were hundreds, thousands of semi-automatic weapons brought in, and they were destroyed. Look, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but we haven't had mass shootings like that, and we had two or three before that.
Here's the question: besides the mass shootings, did the actual gun crime decrease immediately after those measures went in?
Well, there is some debate about that, and I know that every time I write about guns, the NRA here, there's a campaign to show that Howard got it right, wrong, that gun crime in Australia hasn't gone down. But it's not true. Overall, there has been a decline in gun crime in Australia. There's no doubt about that. It's not. It varies from state to state. But overall, there has certainly been a decline in gun crime. And no one doubts now in Australia, except the gun lobby, that the making it more difficult to get hold of guns has contributed to that.
Well, let me ask you, we're speaking, by the way, with Michael Gawenda, who's the Washington correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald, wrote a very strong editorial this week, sort of questioning why there isn't more gun control in the United States. Now, there you are in Washington. Have you talked to politicians about this? Why do you think the U.S. won't limit guns?
I have talked to politicians about it, and the fact is that in the main, there are Democrats that I've talked to who will tell me off the record, that it is a political loser to talk about gun control, basically because there are enough single issue gun voters who will vote on that basis alone. That would cause them problems. I mean, there's no doubt that that's true. And the NRA is incredibly well organized. It's true. It is probably the most powerful lobbying group in Washington, well organized right across the country. I can't see any other explanation for the fact. I'm not saying that I'm necessarily right. I might be wrong. But how is it that when you have three terrible crimes in schools, shootings, killings of people that involve guns, there is absolutely no discussion at all. No one raises the issue, or generally, I think that that's fair to say, no one raises the issue of is the availability of guns have anything to do with this? No one even is prepared to talk about it.
All right. Well, it's very interesting. You bring up a number of interesting points, and especially giving us that model that does seem to work in Australia. Thank you very much, Michael Gawenda.
Pleasure.
From the Sydney Morning Herald. We want to turn to Representative Katie True now, especially as Mr. Gawenda brings up now the sort of, you're a political loser, you know, on the gun control issue, no matter which side of the political fence you're on. Representative Katie True, Republican State House Representative of the 41st District in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Ms. True, thank you very much for being with us.
You're quite welcome.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. First of all, I'm reading here that the day, one day after the Amish shootings, Pennsylvania legislators voted down yet a new package of state gun control measures. And Pennsylvania, as a general rule, receives a very low mark just in terms of the Brady campaign and other groups that look toward gun control. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your state.
Well, where would you like me to start? Do you want me to start with
my ideas? Let's start with the vote this week.
The vote, first of all, certainly was unfortunate that as far as the Amish shooting, it wasn't always unfortunate that there's shootings in schools, but the media is really grabbing hold of the facts of what happened in this wonderful Amish community, which is not in my district, but nevertheless is in Lancaster County. And I can speak to that as far as the guns are concerned, because the gentleman that committed that crime had knives with him, and he did have he did hunt. He had guns, but he was completely and sadly mentally ill, and that's what brought that whole crime about. I absolutely don't believe that any kind of gun law or one gun a month would have prevented him from losing touch with reality and doing what he did in the area in which he did it. He was actually very, everyone was very fond of him in the community and his family.
So you're saying, just in terms of regardless of the type of weapon someone can get, how they can get hold of it, it will really be hard put to control a deranged sociopath whom we can't even discern his illness before he commits the crime.
Well, as I said, if you want to speak to that particular issue, his family did not know. They're devastated. The community that knew him, the Amish in that community knew this man. I went to a service, an evening service, and the minister, he was a church-going man. I mean, absolutely nobody had a clue. He did go hunting. He had a weapon, and it was just a horrific, terrible tragedy that happened. I think a lot of worldwide media picked up on it, of course, because it doesn't make any difference what type of child or what school. It's all bad. And I know I talked with the Philadelphia legislators about that. Their children are just as valuable, but the fact that many people don't know about the Amish, I think, made it a little bit more, brought it more to the point. Nevertheless, I don't know if we'll ever know what drove him to do this. There's a lot of speculation, but
well, of course,
he took a lot with him. But
wait, let's broaden out. Thank you for that. Let's broaden out, though, back to your state and gun control.
Okay.
I understand that there are a lot of hunters in the state of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
You know, that's one issue, but there are certainly, you know, huge urban centers in Pennsylvania, too. Why the whole state, basically, so opposed, as a general rule, to any form of gun control?
Well, if I may speak to what we did with the committee on the whole, perhaps it will. There are many, many, many gun owners in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, as far as the legislature is concerned, there were 113 bills or concepts introduced for this. Some of them were withdrawn, but we did work on 97 total of them. 69 bills where the proposals were approved. There were no gun control measures approved. The thinking going was obviously the majority, and you can tell by the number of votes. Obviously, this is bipartisan. It's a lot of Democrats vote against gun control as well as Republicans. I want to add to that the fact that we passed in Pennsylvania a very strong piece of legislation this term where we do, in cases of domestic violence with a gun, we take the perpetrators' guns away from them. This was unheard of. They couldn't believe we passed it in Pennsylvania, and I will add, we passed it unanimously with gun control and absolute strong gun advocates coming together and working on it. So there are things that can be done if on a specific issue, and that is one we did. If someone commits domestic violence with a gun, until they are cleared of a charge, all the guns are taken away from them and put someplace else. So I just wanted to add that there are things that can be done. The bottom line is, though, and this is my opinion, and I think a lot of the folks that I serve with, taking the guns away in this country that has such a huge drug trade is not going to do the job that a lot of people think they will. If people want to commit a crime, they're going to find a gun and they're going to commit the crime. With our drug trade being as big, and that's something I know a lot about, and it's down into our sixth grade in school, fifth and sixth grade kids using drugs, that's where a lot of the guns are all part of that. Now, we need to get serious in our communities and start finding root causes of the problems to end the violence, and that is something I'm very supportive of for Philadelphia, any urban area, as well as a lot of our rural areas. But
got somebody, the CEO of the National Parent Teacher Association, going to join us in a few minutes.
Okay.
Let me thank you for your remarks, Representative True. I want to move on to Doug Schoen at the moment, chairman of the Penn, Schoen & Berlin Associates, which is a polling and analysis company headquartered in Washington. He's done polling on Democrats' views of gun control. Mr. Schoen, thanks for waiting.
Happy to.
Okay, let's talk first of all about Democrats, Republicans. I mean, we can go back to John Kerry and sort of remember that, you know, it's sort of a middle, you know, of the road, almost left-leaning Democrat, and didn't come out and you know, fight against guns as he was polling because he was so afraid to lose King swing states, just such as Pennsylvania.
I think that's true. I mean, I think what your Australian correspondent said is sadly the fact that there are vast majorities that support gun control, and I must say that it's not at all, taking guns off the street is going to not have a meaningful reduction in crime. But what I do think you can say with some degree of certainty is that single issue voters are those who are anti-gun control, and the pro-gun control voters tend to be much more passive and less interested in the subject. So you can have an issue like the assault weapons ban. I mean, who needs assault weapons, after all, which polls 75 in favor, 20 against. But the 25 that are against will vote on the issue. The 75% who are for the ban sadly do not vote on that issue.
Where does that come down when we wind up with semi-automatic weapons? That's a type of pistols that were used by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, as we remember back at the Columbine tragedy. Where does it come down in terms of people who do adamantly support the Second Amendment, but aren't willing to come off, you know, assault type weapons, machine gun type weapons?
I think it comes down that we have a country where the assault weapons ban gets repealed because a narrow group of people with a strongly held predisposition are able to intimidate politicians. And that's the sad reality. And I think you can have a balanced policy. We worked for Bill Clinton. He certainly did, where you supported the right of hunters to have guns to pursue their hobby, but you didn't really think an area needed an AK-47.
What about, are you surprised at all? I assume from what you've said so far, you're not as surprised. You're not surprised.
No, I'm not surprised because the issue is such that only those who have a interest in the subject will vote on it, and the Bush administration has tacitly supported the NRA's activities and positions so that between Democrats who are afraid of angering the NRA and the right wing who does their bidding, the vast majority of Americans support common sense policies, don't have their views reflected in public opinion. They don't have them reflected in the policy we get.
So you don't expect, as these November elections come up, you don't expect Democrats to throw in lobbying for tighter gun laws
issues? I think we can say it's almost a certainty that Democrats will not talk about lobbying for tighter gun laws. They may well. It may be tragic shooting in Pennsylvania and in Colorado, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the net result is that we as a country are going to be the losers.
All right. Doug Schoen, we thank you very much. He's the chairman of Penn Schoen and Berlin Associates. A little bit rough going on the cell phone today, but let me go back to Representative Katie True. Ms. True, can you respond to one thing that Mr. Schoen said, which is that constituents intimidate gun control people?
I'll be happy to respond as far as Katie True is concerned, and I totally am not intimidated. I figure that I put what I would like to do out for the voters, and I if enough of them support me, then they will vote for me. And I'm proud to say that I have many folks that probably subscribe to some of gun control that do support me because I tell them the truth. And the truth is, if we can get back to the issue and not make political statements, the truth is that what we need to do is find the root causes in the United States of America of why there's so much violence with young people as well as others, and really spend money on prevention. I'd prefer to spend money on prevention rather than on jails. I prefer money to be up front, and there's a lot of us in the General Assembly that do feel that way, and I understand this is a philosophical disagreement with many, but I really prefer to find solutions to what is going on in our country with our young people and others, and find out the cause, because I really, in my heart, do not believe one gun a month is going to keep people that seek to harm others. They don't care. They don't go check and see what laws we have on the books. They don't say, oh, gee, there's a law. We can't have this gun. And that's where I am on this issue. And I don't know how much time I have, but I just because you did bring up the shooting in Lancaster, our Governor Ed Rendell, was kind enough to go down to Lancaster when all this happened, and what he said was that there was no gun legislation that could have prevented that tragedy. The other key to this is tough mandatory sentencing. Urban judges don't like mandatories, they don't enforce them, and they don't get the serious criminals off the street. And until we have judges in urban areas and elsewhere that enforce tough mandatories, we're going to continue to have violent criminals on the street, and they're not going to care about any amount of laws that we pass. That's what we need to do, and that's why I certainly support American Second Amendment rights and wish that there would not be so much violence, but I think we're kind of looking at this as more of a political issue of who's going to vote for what instead of looking at the root cause.
All right. Representative Katie True, we sure do thank you for being with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
Ms. True, Republican State House Representative of the 41st District, which is in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Ms. True brings up solutions and instead of removing the guns, getting to the bottom of the sociopaths and other people's violent crimes, and it's perfect time to bring in Warlene Gary on that subject. Ms. Gary, the CEO of the National Parent Teacher Association, which is headquartered out of Chicago. But you're in D.C. at the moment, are you, Ms. Gary?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's go to what's going to go on. President Bush has called for a conference on the heels of these horrible school shooting tragedies. What's the focus of the conference? Who's going to be there?
Well, the most we've been in contact with the White House. The date hasn't been set, and we're quite frankly not sure. But our assumption after having some conversation is to bring a group of, not necessarily like-minded, but groups that have at heart their issue of keeping children safe and keeping our schools safe, to talk about ways that we can promote to protect our children and to protect them on the way to school and during school.
Now, will gun control be part of that discussion, or is that almost,
I have no idea whether gun control will be part of that discussion. After listening to all this and living here in the city, I would think that it would not be, because I agree with two of our speakers, Michael and I think Doug, showing that, this is very, very political issue, huge lobby, lots of money. And everybody's going to avoid talking about gun control. The PTA, for the National Parent Teachers Association, for years has, promoted keeping children safe through restricting access to guns from people who may endanger public safety. So, we have some things that we want to see promoted in place across this country around gun safety. Sometimes that's not popular. I mean, we have 6 million members. We have members who believe in gun control, and we have some that don't. But we have passed as a body, you know, a group of recommendations that we think ought to happen. I mean, the National Crime Prevention Council basically says that we could reduce 30% of violence if we could get a community-wide effort. The problem is we can't get everybody on any one page, and we think the page has to be children and keeping them safe.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the issues you said will be discussed is, you know, just the transportation to and from school. But, you know, all of the incidents that I can think of right off the top of my head, certainly this one-room Amish schoolhouse, but we can go back to Columbine. You know, it wasn't a matter of walking to school. You know, kids were already in the place that they feel is a sanctuary. It's safe. Their teachers are there. And, you know, crazy people, crazy students, crazy people from the community who were not considered crazy before come in. It almost feels like a mountain to climb to try
I think that the Amish piece is an anomaly, and so I think we have to set that piece aside. The Columbine piece and some of the issues, the Oklahoma child, and some of the things that have happened the last couple of years have a lot to do with this whole issue of prevention. And the parents and the community coming together. The Columbine, did that school have in place procedures to deal with an emergency? Had the parents been involved in an emergency procedure? Is there something in place around helping to identify children that have problems? That principal there in Columbine said there were no cliques in the school. Well, everybody knows that there are cliques in
sure.
the school.
And the parents knowing what their kids are up to ahead of time, of course.
So, you know, the PTA's goal is to work with parents, work with the community, work with the school, excuse me, so that we can have a community-wide understanding of everybody's role around children. I mean, I think the real reality is that we have not made children first in our society, and I think the first speaker spoke to that in terms of not talking about the issue of gun safety.
All right, Warlene Gary is speaking with us, CEO of the National Parent Teacher Association. Thank you for being with us today.
Glad to.
We're going to finish up with Michael Gawenda, who started off the conversation. Mr. Gawenda, Washington correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald, and, you know, quite a bit more success in terms of gun control and less gun violence in Australia in general. Mr. Gawenda, you've heard everybody speak, especially respond to us when you heard the representative from Pennsylvania adamantly defend the Second Amendment and say that many people in Pennsylvania have guns and they don't intend to stop having them.
Well, I've got to say that I'm an outsider and I don't want to be impolite, but I found a lot of it of what she said really, really contradictory. I mean, she said that a lot of gun violence has got to do with drugs. Well, that's true, but the shootings in recent weeks at schools had nothing to do with drugs.
They have to do with mental illness, don't they?
That's right, and it wasn't drug related. A lot of the shootings that are committed by children are not necessarily drug related. They're related to the fact that it is easy to get guns. And when you listen and you hear that the only successful gun control measure that was passed in Pennsylvania was that in cases of domestic violence, people who use a gun will have the gun removed, well, dear me, really. I would have thought that, and that's a success, that's some sort of achievement. I mean, that should have been law in Pennsylvania forever.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael Gawenda, for all your time today. And our other guests as well, Katie True, Doug Schoen, and Warlene Gary. The producers of Which Way LA are Francis Anderton, Christian Bordahl, Katie Cooper, Dan Konecki, and Vanessa Romo. The managing producer is Karen Radziner. Technical director, Mike Newport. Thanks also to the John Coltrane family. A reminder, you can access past shows at kcrw.com. Keywords, Which Way LA. I'm Diana Nyad. Join us again for Which Way LA, 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.